I would welcome you to the call to worship coming to you from Zion Chapel in Holland, Michigan. Think again of those blessed words that were just sung. Nearer, still nearer, close to my heart, draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. Fold me, oh, fold me, close to thy breast. Shelter me safe in that haven of rest. I'd like to continue today in Romans chapter 10. And this is where the beginning of that coming nearer to Christ is shown. In verse 11 we read, "For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." And then in the 12th through the 14th verses, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him when they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Shall we pray that God will give us understanding of these words today, particularly as we need them, as plainly as the Lord Jesus ordered John to write to the seven churches, that so those words might be directed to us today. Father, we thank thee that we can come before thee and to thee in our need, and that we can cry out to thee, nearer, still nearer. Father, we thank thee that thou hast drawn us to thyself through Christ, that thou hast drawn us through and according to thy word, by the power of thy Spirit. Father, we can only thank thee for taking us who are dead in sin and making us to sit in heavenly places in Christ. But Father, we know also as that church at Ephesus, we are prone to lose our first love. We are prone to go apart from him. We are prone to neglect, even after we have known it, so great salvation. And we pray that thou wilt teach each one of us, those who are thy children, to come back to thee, and those who are not, to come to thee for the first time in true repentance, and only in faith through Christ, in whose name we pray alone. Amen. Continuing our study here in Paul's letter to the church at Rome, we'd like to consider those blessed words found in verse 11. "For the Scripture saith, Whosoever shall believeth on him shall not be ashamed." In verse 10 we read, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." God gave ready by the prophet Isaiah those words that foretold the blessing of those who believed on Christ. In Isaiah chapter 28, we see that prophecy. And here, Paul is repeating those words of the blessing of those who believe on Christ, that they shall not be ashamed. Isaiah knew what Christ would do, as he wrote there in the 28th chapter in verse 16, and then later in Isaiah 53, where he describes so vividly the suffering of Christ, but also described us as we are in our first time before Christ, our first ways while we are yet dead in sin, while we are guilty in unbelief, that we hid as it were our faces from him. We saw no beauty in him that we should desire after him. But what a blessing it is if he teaches us and brings us to the place, even as the songwriter stated it, the third stanza of that song, "Nearer, still nearer, Lord, to be thine, sin with its follies I gladly resign, all of its pleasures, pomp, and its pride, give me but Jesus, my Lord, crucified." There is much division, diversity today in the church over whether or not we need to see Christ as Lord. There are books written on it. There are books written that we do, and there are counter books written that we don't. But remember again, as we read here in verse 12, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." And verse 13 again, that word is used, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Many would say, well, we call on Jesus as a Savior today and take him as Lord later. How can we call on him as Lord or how can we call on the name of the Lord if we don't recognize that? Remember, as Paul stated when the Philippian jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" His answer was, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And the Philippian jailer not only believed with all of his house, after Paul had spoken not only those words, but opened to him the word of the Lord. And we saw that the Philippian jailer soon understood Christ as Lord, because he began to do his will. He washed the stripes of Paul and was soon baptized, even in that same night. The Lord Jesus was Lord, even as baptism pictures. That we die to the world, and do we die with Christ in showing his death, and then we rise to newness of life in Christ. Oh, how we need to see that again today. How we need to see, first of all, that salvation is of God, that salvation is by grace, that salvation is not only as we read the written word, but as that word is applied to hearts opened by the Holy Spirit. Hearts that have become new hearts. As God said already by the prophet Ezekiel, "I will take out the heart of stone and I will give you a heart of flesh." And as the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And certainly he will not see Christ as Lord. He will not see that there is a Lord of that heavenly kingdom. And we must see that. Many think it's sufficient just to read verse 13 and say, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," and repeat only the words of men, repeat only words quoted to them, and think more of the men than probably the Lord to whom they are speaking or should be speaking. But we need to see this all together. As I stated in one of the previous messages, from verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And how some would say, "Well, I know that verse, I believe it," but yet are not willing in every place and every time to confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, and that he is Lord. Do you know that? That whether you believe it or not, he is your Lord. If you believe it rightly, he will also be your Savior. He will be the Lord Jesus, the one who has been given that name because he shall save his people from their sins. But if you will not bow to him, if you do not see your need of him, he continues to be Lord. He continues to be the one of whom God said, and David quoted and wrote in the Psalms, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." That needs to come in the way of repentance. Many would emphasize only faith as we think of Romans chapter 10 and these particular verses. "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Only if we truly repent will we believe on Christ. Will we believe that Christ is Lord as well as Savior. It is true that he did humble himself to the death of the cross. It is true that he took on him the form of a man. It is true that when he reviled not again, but he remained Lord. He remained the one, as he said in John chapter 10, "I have power to lay down my life, I have power to take it again." He remained one with the Father even when he stood before Pilate and said to Pilate, after Pilate had said, "I have power to crucify thee and power to release thee." And the Lord Jesus said, "Thou should have no power at all except it be given thee from above." And the Lord Jesus and the Father were one also in that very moment. And so I would proclaim to you and call you to repentance that Christ is Lord, and you must acknowledge it. And if you haven't done that yet, do it today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Thou and thy house, and all if there are broken homes today, may it be true of you and all of your family that you'll be united together with God in Christ and with your families. This is what we need in the churches and in our nation. This has been the Call to Worship coming to you from Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Write us if we can help you.